Hi again, it's Paul. Today is Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. Exactly a year ago today, we had the big East Coast earthquake in my state. It was centered in Mineral, Virginia at the time. I posted on my blog at that time a little audio file describing what I experienced in the earthquake and talked about, the Richter scale and all that stuff. But it's been a year, and they had this little thing on the news talking about what damages are still in place that have not been, people haven't been able to afford to fix them. But in Mineral, Virginia, where it was centered, they had to actually demolish two school buildings. And my sister, who lives about 10 minutes from Mineral, Virginia, she had lots of damage. I don't think I talked about that at the time because I didn't know at the time that she had damage. And when I say damage, I mean everything on her walls, anything that was hanging on the walls was on the floor. All of her cabinets in her kitchen were open and things fell out of the cabinets and made a big mess in the kitchen. Things like that. My father also lives about 15 minutes the other direction from there, and he said he felt it too. So it was actually quite a dramatic an event for us here in the East Coast because we don't usually get earthquakes. And the damage was pretty extensive at the National Cathedral. They were talking about that today in the news, that there was a $5 million donation because it's going to cost like $40 million to replace or to repair the tops of the cathedral spires, I guess. And I know that they're currently working on it. The Washington Monument's been closed ever since, and they are slowly repairing that. But there was a article in the Post today about they do hope to reopen the memorial at some point once all the repairs are done. So this was quite a big happening here on the East Coast, especially in Virginia and the D.C. area, because we had definitely had damage that we could see and experience. There is a picture that's floating around. I tweeted it a little earlier of a set of lawn furniture where one chair is knocked over and it's got the date on it, 8/23/11. Never forget. And I think that's the funniest thing. It was making the rounds on Facebook today, of course, of my local people. And I just laugh every time I saw it. So I had to retweet it. I don't know if anybody else on the East Coast felt the earthquake or had the same experience as I did, but it's definitely something to remember. And if you're really curious, go back to August 23rd, 2011 in my blog, and you can listen to a little quick audio, because at that time I wasn't really podcasting. I was posting these little audio files, so you can listen to that. I should probably put those in the count of podcasts. I don't know. In any case, so we were remembering the earthquake today and talking about the damage and all of that. Now, other things, of course, have been going on. Today, I took my mother to the medical center. Not that there's anything wrong with her, but her medical, I guess, whatever, non-Medicare, Medicaid supplemental insurance is through Kaiser Permanente. Well, they opened up a new center near where she lives, and she has to go there because all of her doctors moved out to that new building. And which is really good because it's only like 3 minutes from her house. But she didn't know how to get there, how to get into the parking garage, where to park, where the place where she has to go for her blood work, stuff like that. So I took some time today and went over to her house and picked her up and showed her how to drive over to the center. And I'm really pleased that it's like 3 minutes from her house so she can actually do it. There's maybe two turns and one light. But I took her over there and she's got a handicap parking sticker, so she was able to park right in the handicap parking space, which is right next to the walkway to the main building. My only concern is that it's quite a bit of a walk, and she's going to need to take her cane with her. She did not have her cane with her today, and she got tired very quickly. But we went in there and showed her around, and they had, because this is the facility just opened, I believe, earlier this week, maybe. But she needed to get her blood work done, because she's on Coumadin for her heart troubles. And she's also 81 years old, remember that. So they told us where to go, and we started walking. And it's quite a long walk, so She was really tired by the time I got there. And then, of course, she starts to get out her ID and her copay and all that kind of stuff. And she, you know, just gets out of breath and gets a little crazy because, you know, things are not the way that she's used to from the other medical center. So once things change, she gets a little frazzled. And I was just like, Mom, just calm down. Give me your ID. I gave it to the guy. And he said, just sit down for a minute. When you see your number, go through that door, and showed her exactly what to do. Well, she was very concerned because at the old medical center, she got to know the lady who takes the blood there, and she was concerned that she was going to have somebody new, and they weren't going to be gentle with her arm because she bruises very easily and things like that. Well, when we went in there, she was so happy to see the very familiar face of the exact same lady who draws her blood at the other center. And she was all excited, saying, oh, you're moving out to this new center? And the lady was like, yes, they're moving pretty much everybody over here. Only certain things will be at the old center. So she's like, oh, thank goodness I will, you know, be able to come and get my blood work done with you. So she was all happy. And then the lady did her blood work, and Mom said that it hurt her arm like crazy when she was sticking the needle. I'm like, well, maybe she was all excited because of the changes and all that, and she wasn't very careful. So, but Mom's very happy. She knows how to get there now. She feels comfortable that she can park there and go in there and find the laboratory to get her blood taken and stuff like that. So it was a successful little trip, and it only took about an hour total, so I was pleased with that. Now, I'm sure you've been following the news where you heard about Tropical Storm Isaac threatening the Republican National Convention, and I just think it's extremely ironic that a hurricane is going to possibly disrupt the convention. Of course, now they're saying that it might go to the west side and not affect them nearly as much as they thought before, but, you know, who knows? Since it's so far out in the ocean right now, it's not, you know, certain that it's going to actually hit that side of Florida. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting because the Republicans, who, of course, I can't stand, and who have all of these ideological differences than I do, and they praise God and all this stuff, and yet, if they believe such a thing that God is controlling the weather and he's sending a hurricane, well, it will be a hurricane by then, a hurricane to their convention. I just love it. And speaking of their convention, on, I believe it was Tuesday, my governor is on the platform committee of the Republican National Committee, whatever, and they were finalizing their stances on issues, and they voted in their platform for abortion, and there are no changes from the 2008 abortion platform, and that is they do not want any abortions for any reason. Even after all of this flack with Todd Akin and his legitimate rape and all of that stuff, there is no provision in the Republican platform for abortion for rape or incest victims. It's just plain and simple, no abortions whatsoever. So I'm like, you have this uproar about this guy, and all the Republicans hate him, but yet in your platform, you're still calling for absolutely no abortions in any situation whatsoever. They're such hypocrites, those people. They always are. They're very very hypocritical. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Along the same lines of politics, do you remember the Salahis? They are the White House crashers. From my state and in wine country because they owned a winery. Well, their divorce, Michaela and Tariq Salahi's divorce, was finalized this week. I don't know what the settlement was or if they're getting anything or not, but their divorce is finalized. And then on the very next day, Tariq Salahi announced that he is running for governor of Virginia. Our governor is done with his term at the end of 2013, so in November of 2013, we will elect a new governor, and he is going to be running for governor. And of course, I'm not going to vote for him because he's an idiot. But that was just along the whole political lines. Did anyone see the movie The Hunger Games? Because I saw it, was it last night? Yesterday? No, the night before. I saw The Hunger Games, and it was a good movie. It kept my interest, and, you know, I followed along really well, and I thought the interesting part for me was the whole futuristic thing and how the how this country or I guess it's a country, a panem, was formed out of these different districts after the it's a post-apocalyptic country formed out of these different districts anyway. But the crazy part is the whole crazy thing is the whole offering up tributes for these games, and they have to kill each other. Well, the killing was just, I mean, surely by now I'm not giving any spoilers, but the killing was instant. Like, there's like 24 people, 24 children between the ages of 12 and 18. And within like the first 5 minutes of the games, like 10 kids are killed. It was crazy. And then it goes on with a little, you know, a little bit of love story and a little bit of drama and all that stuff. But in the end, it was clear in the end that they are setting this up for a sequel. Well, after I watched the movie, I Wikipedia'd it and found that, yes, there are actually two sequels in the making, because I didn't read the book or the series of books, but it's based on the series of books. And there are two sequels in the making, or plans, I should say. So that'll be interesting to see what happens next. But one thing I was thinking of as I'm watching this movie and thinking about how they've set up this society, this future society, and when I see movies like this in terms of the future, I wonder if not directors or writers or whatever, but just in general, if this movie is like a warning for the future. Like, if we don't get a hold of our society and our societal ills, will we fall into something like this in the future? And I just made me think of that, you know, in the future, if we don't, you know, keep track of things, we will have a downfall of that sort and create a society where we're killing people. I don't know. I just was thinking about that. I stopped saying. Another thing that I saw this week was the hour-long debate between Brian Brown and Dan Savage at the dining room table in Dan Savage's house. Did anyone else see that? It was a debate about marriage equality, and I guess they had the moderator. I think the guy was from the New York Times. I don't remember, to tell you the truth. They were actually very civil. They gave each other time to talk. There was no screaming and yelling, maybe a little at one point, but it was nothing too over the top. What I liked was that Dan Savage stuck to his message, but there was too much religion in it. Granted, if you listen to the whole thing, the beginning was all about the response to Dan Savage's talk at a college where he said that the Bible was BS, basically. And so really it was wrapped around religion. But I do like how Dan Savage kind of knocked down every one of Brian Brown's points about traditional marriage. Now, Brian Brown is the president of NOM, National Organization of Marriage? I don't know what his title is, but he's at the top of the National Organization of Marriage. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, during that video, they kept, like, they had, must have had like a three-camera setup, because they showed the whole table with all three of them, then they showed, you know, individual shots. I guess there was a four-camera setup. No, there was three. I don't know. But like, they showed a close-up picture of when Dan Savage was talking, and a close-up picture of Brian Brown talking. And the one thing that drove me crazy and drives me crazy about people is the lip scum that forms on people's lips when they are talking. You know, that foamy, white, sticky stuff that probably everyone gets at some point in their lives. But most people recognize it and they wipe their lips or something. But Brian Brown kept talking with this lip scum that would be stuck to his lips. And I was totally distracted by the lip scum that I could not pay attention to what he was saying. It was very distracting. Luckily, they only, you know, had the camera on him for a couple minutes at that point, and then later it was gone, so maybe he wiped his mouth. I don't know. Interesting, though. Now, here I am talking. It's almost 15 minutes, but I have one more thing I wanted to tell you. I guess I had a lot to talk about tonight. I don't know. The other thing is I'm in the middle of watching the movie called The Beginners with, I can't think of his name now. Oh, well. It's about the young guy whose father dies, but then he relives, he relives about his father coming out to him and the experience the guy goes through. You probably heard the ding of my computer because I got an email. I'm screwing this up. Anyway, in the movie, the guy keeps his bathroom door closed. You know, at the beginning when he cuts the father's dog and he's showing the dog around. Well, he's showing him around his apartment because the dog's now living with him. He shows him the bedroom, the kitchen, the living room, all this stuff. And then he goes to the bathroom and he opens the door, shows the dog the bathroom, and then he closes the door. And not that this has anything to do with the movie, but it made me think, why do people keep their bathroom doors closed? If you have guests over, they're not going to know if someone's in there or not. You should leave the bathroom door open. Plus, if there's any kind of smells in there, wouldn't you want the door open to let all those smells out? I don't know why I thought about that. I was just watching that movie, saw the guy open the door and then close it. I'm thinking, there's nobody in there. Keep the door open. Do you leave your bathroom door open or closed? And if you leave it closed, why? It doesn't make any sense to me. Just open the door. That just seemed very odd to me. All right, well, I'm going to wrap this up. But I do want to say that on my website is a picture of my mother getting her blood taken today at the new medical center. So I'm going to post that on the blog with this podcast. So that is all I have for today. This is episode 49. That means my next episode is 50. Isn't that quite a milestone? Although I've been podcasting since January and I'm only up to 50, that could be sad too. But next week, it'll be 50. And next week I go back to work, so I'm going to be much more tired and much, much busier. But I'm still going to try to podcast, you know, at least once a week. Anyway, that is all I have for today. Until next time, bye.